But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the gift of life won at such a great cost that you give to us this Easter day. Father, as we hear from your word, we pray that you'd open our hearts to receive your love. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you like to have a seat? Christ is risen. That's not bad. Is that the best that you can do? These are the most exciting words in the whole of the Bible. These are the words that change our life. Can you not be a bit more excited? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That's a bit more like it, isn't it? Because they are truly astonishing words. They are truly life-changing words. They're so astonishing that they're almost unbelievable. That was the case on that first Easter day at the tomb. It's often the case still, isn't it? I looked up unbelievable stories on the internet. Let's tell you some of the stories I found. These are true but unbelievable stories, apparently. This one's from a medical student. "I am a medical student currently doing a rotation in toxicology at the Poison Control Center. Today this woman called in very upset because she caught her little daughter eating ants. Don't try it, children, okay? I quickly reassured her that the ants are not harmful and that there would be no need to bring her daughter to the hospital. She calmed down, and then at the end of the conversation, she happened to mention that she gave her daughter some ant poison to eat in order to kill the ants. I told her she better bring her daughter into casualty straight away." Well, how about this one? "A carpet layer had just finished installing carpet for a lady. He stepped out for a cigarette. I need to realise that he'd lost his cigarettes. In the middle of the room, under the carpet, there was a lump. No sense pulling up the entire floor for one pack of smokes, he said to himself. He proceeded to get out his hammer and flattened the hump. And as he was cleaning up, the lady came in. 'Here,' she said, handing him his packet of cigarettes. 'I just found these in the hallway. Now, if only I could find my parakeet,' she said." I'm not sure. I'll let you do. And I have to say, this one is my favorite. Okay. "Scientists at NASA have developed a gun built specifically to launch dead chickens at the windshields of airliners, military jets, and the space shuttle, all travelling at maximum velocity. The idea is to simulate the frequent incidence of collisions with airborne fowl and to test the strength of the windshields. British engineers heard about the gun and were eager to test it on the windshields of their new high-speed trains. Arrangements were made. But when the gun was fired, the engineer stood shocked as the chicken hurtled out of the barrel, crashed into the shatterproof windshield, smashed it to smithereens, crashed through the control console, snapped the engineer's backrest in two, and embedded itself into the back wall of the cabin. Horrified, the British sent NASA the disastrous results of the experiment, along with the designs of the windshield, and begged the US scientists for suggestions.
Lasse's response was just one sentence. Thaw the chicken. Okay. Unbelievable, but true. Who'd have thought? We're here this morning, aren't we, because of a story that is unbelievable, but true. The cross, which only on Friday was a symbol of death and the end, becomes on this first day of the week a symbol of life. As these women, as these dear friends of Jesus, go to the tomb on that first Easter morning and discover, much to their astonishment and confusion and distress, that the stone has been rolled away and that their beloved Jesus isn't there. I wonder what you're like first thing in the morning. Are you a morning person? Hands up if you're a morning person. See, not to hands up if you're not a morning person. Sorry, morning people, you lose. I'm not a morning person. I don't know how these women were, but this was not a good morning for them, was it? In fact, it had not been a good week, had it? Well, it had started all right, because Jesus had entered Jerusalem on a donkey. Things were awesome. The crowds were behind Jesus. It was amazing. Everybody was on board. But by the Friday, things had turned, hadn't they? Jesus has been arrested and falsely accused and put into prison and put on trial, not just before Pilate, but also before Herod. And he'd been crucified on a Roman cross, the most brutal form of torture or execution ever devised, even now, I believe. I won't explain to you how it works. You can ask me later. It's terrible. It's one of the most brutal forms of torture, even today, that could happen, to be crucified on a Roman cross. He's died, and he's been buried in a tomb with a large stone rolled over. For the disciples and his friends, all their hopes are shattered. Everything has changed. Everything has come to an end. Or so they think. But then early in the morning, on the morning after the Sabbath, the first day of the week, the women get up really early to go and pay their respects, to give Jesus the reverence that any person who's died is due, to prepare his body, to wrap his body in spices and ointments, to embalm him, to care for him, to do their final act of love. That can't have been an easy journey that morning, walking to the tomb. It must have been astonishingly difficult. Imagine how much more difficult it was to get to the grave of their loved one and discover it open, and to discover that Jesus wasn't there. And I think in probably the greatest line of understatement in the scriptures, Luke says, while they were perplexed. Do you think? I think they might have been really upset, really confused. Huge understatement. While they're there, two men, two angels who gleamed like lightning, suddenly are standing there with them. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Of course you're not going to find Jesus here. He's not dead. What are you looking for him here for? He's not dead. Don't you know? That's not quite what they're saying. He is not here. He has risen. And with those words, everything changes. He has risen. Everything has changed. Jesus is not dead. Everything has changed. Jesus isn't, I don't know where he is, but he's not here. He's risen. I don't know what you think, but I'm betting the journey back home was a lot faster than the journey they'd taken that morning to the tomb. I bet they rushed home. I bet they were wondering how on earth they were going to explain what had happened to the others. But I bet they rushed back and burst into the room. And they told the 11 and all the others gathered there what had happened. And they didn't believe them. They couldn't. couldn't believe them. The words seemed to them like nonsense. How sad it is that we live in a world where the words Jesus is risen is still nonsense to so many people. What a tragedy that on this Easter morning there are so many people we could say he is risen to, and they would say, what nonsense. People don't rise from the dead. Jesus did. Jesus does. And through him we rise to new life as well. It's powerful. It's amazing. Mary, Joanna, and Mary, mother of James, and some of the other women, they were there and they saw it. Tell these women it didn't happen. You'll never convince them. It's true and it's real. But those in the upper room doubted. And for understandable reasons they doubted, didn't they? Because dead people don't come back to life. Although they had seen Lazarus come back to life. I wonder if Lazarus was in the upper room quietly hoping. They had seen other people like the centurion's daughter come back to life. Maybe these words began to bring hope, but maybe they were just too afraid to believe because they didn't want their hopes crushed. I wonder how many people there are that are afraid to believe in our Lord Jesus because they're afraid they might find out that it's not real after all. The good news this Easter morning is that Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. He is very, very real. And this symbol of death is not a symbol of death, but a symbol of hope and of life, and the life that Jesus has given to us. And Jesus' life and death and resurrection follow the designer's pattern. They follow the very design of creation itself. Jesus has come and he's done his work amongst us. He's shown us how to live and love. And on the sixth day, when he's finished his work, he dies for us in love on a Roman cross. And he dies with the words, "It is finished." On the sixth day of creation, God finished creation with the words, "It is finished." And he looks at everything he made and he saw that it was good. Jesus has just completed the work of recreating us. "It is finished," he says. And with that, he breathes his last. And he's taken down to the grave. And he's buried in a tomb, and the stone is rolled across him. And on the Sabbath day, as the Lord had taught them to do, they rested. They rested. For the disciples and Jesus' friends, they rested in confusion because they thought it was the end. Everything that he'd done, everything that he'd taught them, it all seemed to be for nothing because it was the end. Maybe you felt at times you can't go any further, that it's the end. Maybe you know that kind of despair. But the good news this morning is that Jesus is risen, and that death, even death, is not the end. Because in Jesus we have a living hope and we have the gift of eternal life. And so on the Sabbath they rested, and early on the Monday, the first day of the week, the women who believed that everything had ended arrive at the tomb to discover this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning because Jesus isn't dead. Jesus is not in the tomb. He is risen. He is risen. The other gospel writers tell us he is risen just as he said. The angels have reminded the women that Jesus has risen just as he said he would. Why are you looking here for him in a grave? Why do you expect to find Jesus dead? You won't find a dead Jesus because Jesus is alive. When you come up to communion in a while, you're going to have to duck and weave to get around this great cross. You might think that it's in an annoying place. You might think that it's in the way. If you bang your head on it, I'm not going to apologise, okay? It's in the way. When I was training as a student, we had our vicar, her habit in Lent, And I don't think I'll try it because the beams are too high. But her habit on the first Sunday of Lent was to get out the big wooden cross. And Sunday after Sunday through Lent, she would find the most annoying places to put it. She would put it across the doorway so that the only way you could get into church was to step through it or under it. She would put it on the floor so you had to climb over it and you could trip on it. She would hang it from the ceiling so that you could barely get through without banging your head. And the point was strong. The cross gets in the way, doesn't it? The cross should get in the way because it's the cross that sets it free. So if the cross gets in the way of your life this morning, stop and take notice and remember that it's an empty cross and that Jesus is risen, that he's given you life. And if you think at the end of today, after all the grandkids have gone home and you've done the dishes and all that sort of stuff, if you sit down tonight and you think, oh, I'm glad that's over for another year, I've got news for you. You're wrong again, because today is not the end. Today is the beginning. Today's not the end, it's the beginning. Same vicar, same church, same student. I got in trouble because on the very Sunday after Easter, I stood up and at the start of my sermon said, well, aren't you all glad that Easter is over? I was promptly interrupted and rightly put in my place. Easter was not over. And if you're a good liturgist, and Henry will tell me about this, there's 50 days of Easter. Today's the first day of the Easter season, not the last day of it. There's 50 days up until Pentecost. But Easter is never over because Jesus is risen and he's alive. And if you want to find him, don't look for him in a tomb. You'll find him in your hearts if you let them be open to receive him. You'll find him when you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and let Jesus do his transforming work in you. You will find him. He's here and very real. Sometimes people ask me, why on earth isn't God doing anything about all the suffering in the world? There's so many things wrong with the world. Why doesn't God do something about it? And I always want to say, hello. He's done something very good about it, hasn't he? Jesus has died upon the cross to set us free from sin and death. No longer need we be afraid, because in him we are transformed and born again. And all he asks is that we believe. In the upper room, in those first moments, it was difficult to believe. But keep reading the New Testament. Keep reading the story. One by one, they meet the risen Jesus and they believe. One by one, they experience the love of the risen Jesus in their life and they believe. We too can experience the power of the risen Jesus in our life. All we have to do is open our hearts and receive him and believe. And that truly is good news. So, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.